This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very, very happy to be with you today. This is the day the Lord has made. What do? We rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, we do. Always eager to hear from you here on Women of Grace Live. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you to use. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. We love your questions and comments, so please use the number, use it regularly, give us a call. We want to hear from you today. Also want to let you know that we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving, Matthew Gubensky answering the phones today. Want to know if you are a first timer, because we will ring the bell for you to welcome you. And I have to tell you, I've got to get my bell. It's on the other side of the room, and I'll do that during the break. I reorganized things a little bit, and I forgot to bring my bell back here. That's not a good thing. But if you call us and you're a first timer, we'll ring that bell to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. Also want to let you know that we love to get your questions and comments via email. womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way that you can get those email questions to us. Please use it. We like it. I like when I get mail. I really, really do. Not when I get junk mail, but I like when I get your mail, because your mail is always so wonderful. So please do, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Please do use that address and get in touch with us. Well, it is Wednesday, and you know what Wednesday means. It means that Sue Brinkman is with us. I am so excited that Sue is here. I have all kinds of anticipation for what we're going to talk about today. We talk about the weird and the wacky on Wednesdays. It's Wacky Wednesday. That's what we call it. We talk about the weird and the wacky, the things that we see going on out there that are just like make us scratch our head and say, oh my goodness, what is that about? But unfortunately, so many of these things are presented to us in beguiling ways. You know, anytime I hear that word beguiling, I think of the devil, because he's a beguiling creature. You know, he's a beguiling demon. And he will beguile us. Beguiling always, the word itself, I'm going to have to look it up and see what the etymology is, because I really don't know. But it always carries with me a note of deception, doesn't it? If somebody's beguiling you, there's a self-interest involved in that, right? They're trying to lure you in their direction. Generally speaking, if somebody's trying to lure you in their direction, you know, it's for nefarious reasons, right? So when we hear that word beguiling, it kind of indicates that. That's what the evil one does. He tries to beguile us. And so sometimes what happens is, for one reason or another, you know, we allow ourselves to, let me put it this way. He appeals to our lower passions. And we're all subject to the intoxicating reality of those lower passions. And so he beguiles us through those lower passions. And we, you know, it could be sort of like a morbid curiosity, for example. You know, it could be the promise of some great benefit that we're going to get, even if that benefit seems good. You know, maybe it isn't good, because maybe the means by which it's going to come to us is not good. But we get beguiled by those lower passions, and we can find ourselves inadvertently getting involved in these things. And we don't want that to happen to you. We don't. We don't want for you to leave the truth and wander off to fables, as St. Paul puts it in his letter to Timothy. And unfortunately, today, a lot of our Catholics have been beguiled, sometimes out of pure ignorance because they don't know, but sometimes, you know, out of just the fact that there's an appeal that's being made to them, and it seems very good. And yet, you know, something that seems good doesn't necessarily mean it is good. You got to discern that. So we help to take you through discerning processes here when we talk about these kinds of things that are out there that present themselves as very good, but yet, you know, they're actually not. because there's something about them that is going to lead us astray or have the potential to lead us astray or get us involved beyond that one step into things that are even worse. So Sue is with us. She does all of the research for us. She is, in fact, our New Age researcher. And our blog has 1,800. She used that number the other day at a staff meeting. 1,800 questions and answers on all of these different kinds of things. And I'll tell you what, there's nary a stone unturned in this research that Sue does. It's very extensive. But Sue also, because she's such a great writer, has the capacity to condense all of that research into articles that are very accessible on every level and, you know, very, you know, not lengthy. Is what I'm trying to say. I don't want to call them pithy because they're not really short, but they're it's information that's condensed in a way where you don't miss any of the definitive research and the good comments that she's found, but nonetheless doesn't take you hours and hours to read. It's not a book, so it's article form. And those articles are archived for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. And they're underneath the blog. If you see blog on the pink nav bar, you click on that and you'll see the various blogs that are posted for you there. You'll be able to do research on those too, because you will be able to put in the very topic that you're interested in and you'll find all of the articles that Sue has written on it. So, you know, by the time you finish reading all those articles, should you desire to read them all, the fact of the matter is you'll be an expert on that particular aspect of the New Age. So it's really quite a resource and we want you to use it and use it often anytime you have a question. But every Wednesday, Sue is here. We take your questions and comments on these things. Because we want to get you the answer that you need in a timely fashion. And you can actually ask the one who's written the articles. You can ask her yourself right here. So again, that number toll free for you in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live if you're in North America. Outside of North America, we have a number for you. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. Country code 1-205-271-2985. In addition to all of that, we invite you to email your questions to us, womenofgrace@ewtn.com, and we will address your emails on this day. But you can get a message to us even more quickly than the email message, and that is by getting it out there to social media. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement, or your question for Sue there. And we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. You hear that music? We're coming back. When we do come back, Sue is going to be with us, and we're going to be taking your questions. So get them lined up now. I'll tell you what, we generally run out of time on getting to questions. So call early if you want to get your question answered. Call now. Make good use of that opportunity during this break. When we come back from the break, more with Sue Brinkman on the New Age. So stay with us. Well, there you have it. It is Wednesday. If you didn't know, that music always lets you know that it's a wacky Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live, and we have got Sue Brinkman with us. We're going to be taking your questions and comments on all things weird and wacky today. I invite you to use our toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's toll free for you here in North America. If you're outside of North America, you can reach us too. Country code 1-205-271 2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Those are the numbers for you to use. In addition to that, you can text your question to us at by texting the letters EWTN to 58177. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, plus tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening into that text message and send it off to us. Data and message rates may apply. Social media available to you too. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature, and we will get it retrieved and up on the board. We've got Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. We've got Matthew Gubensky out there on the phones today, and we are set, ready to go. And now here is Sue Brinkman. Hey, Sue, welcome, welcome.
Oh, happy new year to you. It's so good to hear your voice and get another wacky Wednesday going. I miss it.
Yes, it is. I know, because the last two Wednesdays, I mean, last Wednesday was New Year's Day, and the Wednesday before that was Christmas Day. And so we weren't broadcasting on those days. We were busy with other things, enjoying those beautiful opportunities to be with family and friends and to love on our Lord, right?
Yes.
And that was great. Well, listen, I want to talk with you about a number of things. But first of all, I wanted to share with everybody that Sue has written a book, and I am so excited about it. Actually, Sue has written numbers of books, but this particular book is just really quite remarkable. It is a work of fiction. It is the first book in a series of books that's coming out, and this one is called Lioness Lost. I'm going to hold it up for you to see. I think you can see this. You tell me, Rich, if they can see this, if I've got it lined up properly. All of that being said, this is a beautiful, beautiful book. It's available for you now. It's out there. You can get it online. Lioness Lost by Susan Brinkman. And I'm going to have Sue tell us a little bit about this book. I do want to tell you this, though, friends. I endorsed this book. And what I said in the endorsement was that it was a real page turner. You won't be able to put it down. I'm holding my breath for the next book in this series. And it's absolutely true. It was wonderful. So it is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. But it's interesting, and I think people will find it interesting to know that your writing career actually started off as a fiction writer.
I did. Yes, it did. That's where the Lord found me. I was writing fiction. I never thought in a million years I would ever write nonfiction. So 11 nonfiction books later, he finally called me back to fiction, and it was just so wonderful the way he did. I love writing fiction. I really believe that that's where my heart is, that's what I was born to do, is write fiction. But he wanted me to write books in fiction that actually teach people about the occult and the dangers of the New Age and that sort of thing, but do it in the form of a story, to make it fun and interesting, because only so many people are going to read about this in a nonfiction book. So now this is for women, and the female lead in there is, as the title of the first book tells you, Lioness Lost. Her name is Ariella, and it means lioness. So that's what, where the lioness comes from. But she's lost in the beginning. She's an N-O-N-E nun. She doesn't believe in anything. She's angry at God because of her childhood and that sort of thing. So anyway, that's what that's about. She's going to, over the course of the sixth novel, she will be completely converted. But this is a fun read. There's a mystery in it. There's hate crimes that are going on. And there's also a very handsome man in the book.
Yes,
who
there
is going to play a pivotal role in her conversion. So the ladies will love that part of it. I like that part of it. That was fun to write. But the book is really, it's kind of a sneaky way. If you have women in your family who kind of think the church is a dinosaur, this is a sneaky way to get in front of them church teaching, especially on her moral teaching, because you'll see that in the relationship between her and her love interest. And then you're going to see, of course, all the truths about the occult and the New Age in there, but it's written in kind of like a mystery thriller type thing. So they may not even notice that they're learning about Christianity. And I just say to Jesus, he uses such humble instruments This was such a great idea. I would never have come up with it on my own. And I actually came up with it in the chapel, sitting in front of him one day, just sitting there. And it just went through my head. Boom. This is what I want. And there was no mistaking that that thought came from him, because I was not thinking about anything even remotely similar to that. In fact, I was daydreaming at the time, and I was trying to, which I shouldn't have been done while at prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but my mind had been wandering off. And then all of a sudden, boom, this went through it, and it came right back to him. I thought, what was that? And I asked him for confirmations. Do you want me to write fiction again? It hasn't been 22 years since I've written a piece of fiction. I don't even know if I know how to write it. Do you know what? When he wants you to do something, he makes sure you can do it. And I fell right back into that as if those 22 years had never happened. So it's a very special project to me, very close to my heart. And I'm hoping that it will reach a lot of women who are on the fence about the church. And even if you're not on the fence, you'll still love it. It'll still be a great read for you. But it can be really good. I think it could be convincing for some people who are not in the church. And I would say 15 plus, ages 15 plus could read this book.
Yeah. You know, and I do want to share this. You know, I'm a reader. I'm an avid reader. I read all the time. I generally have several books going at the same time. One, I read to interview people for the television program, obviously, right? So I always read their books. And, you know, but then I have other books that I read, and it's rare that I have an opportunity to actually read fiction. I enjoy reading good fiction, right? And I will say that this is, you know, I taught literature, so I know a little bit about stuff with regard to these kinds of things. The fact of the matter is, when I was reading your book, there's nothing contrived in this book. You know, oftentimes when someone is leading somebody along, you know, a road, and you are doing that in terms of helping people to understand what the New Age is, et cetera, and all of that, oftentimes that message overlays the quality of the storyline, because it feels contrived. This is so organic. There is nothing contrived in the way in which this story develops. And, you know, it's fascinating the way in which you put it all together. And I just can't wait. I really can't. And I know, I think that you've already got the second one written. So I don't know if you're going to send me a manuscript.
They're all written.
Or not. They're all written. Oh, well,
they're all written. They're all written. All the way to the end. All the way to the end. So I have to be really careful not to have any spoilers in there. Because
yes,
this story gets more and more and more intense as it goes along. But just put it this way. The women will be very pleased with the way this story ends.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
It has almost a fairy tale ending.
Oh, wow. Well, I will say this about the content of it. It really does hit everything, as you said. I mean, it honestly does. It's got the romantic piece. It's got the intrigue piece. It's got the, it's got the, historic piece. I mean, it's just, it has everything in it.
Oh, yeah.
So I really want to recommend it. Obviously, I'm doing that. Lioness Lost by Susan Brinkman. I'm holding it back up again so that you can see it. It is a hardback. I am very, very excited. Very excited for this book, and for you, Sue, and for all of you who are going to be carried along through six books. I'll tell you that, because you're not going to want to miss any one of them in the series. So, well, listen, you know, Sue, and our producer is saying it's a great looking cover. It really is a great looking cover. Really do appreciate that. I want to turn our attention now to something that, you know, horrific that's happening out there, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention that we need to keep all of the people in California in our prayers. Those wildfires that are raging out there are absolutely catastrophic. Catastrophic in terms of the loss of property, but I'm praying. I don't know what it's going to look like with regard to life. I am praying that there is not a life that's lost. I don't know how that could possibly be reasonable to assume that there wouldn't be, though, just based on what we're seeing happening. So I just thought we would take a moment here, and let's just join together as the mystical body of Christ, and let's pray a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. Yeah. So I know, Sue, prior to us going on the air here today, we were chatting about that for just a half a minute, but it's really, really devastating.
It's terrific. It is terrific. And with the high winds, and they don't see those winds dying down anytime today, where they were hoping for that. And with winds gusting at 90 and 100 miles per hour, you can't put a plane in the sky. There's no way they can get at that fire. From the air. It's only from the ground. And it's just, they showed you like the little sparks flying through the air. And all those little sparks are just starting other fires.
Yes.
It's just, it's devastating what they're going through. And people are just sitting there. And the one man said, you know, look over on that hill. And they had the camera pan over the hill. And he says, you see where that big mass of fire is right there? He said, that's my house. Mm. That's my house is burning down.
Mm. Mm.
Just imagine that, to lose everything. And except for what you are wearing, and sometimes even your cars, because people had to abandon cars because it was traveling so fast, they abandoned their cars, and they had to go in there with big plows and plow the cars off their road. So they lost even their cars. It's just really, it's devastating what's going on there. And it's such a beautiful part of the state, too, that is on fire, that is burning.
Yes.
So, just keep them in your prayers, because they are suffering out there. They are suffering right now.
Oh, they are. And I know that so many people that are listening to us today have family and friends that are in that area. You know, it's a densely populated area. That's the other thing. It's not out in the middle of a forest somewhere, you know. It is right there, and people making decisions on, do I stay, do I leave? And if they leave, can they really go? I heard somebody interviewed today that said, you know, apparently the neighbors were consulting with each other, and they decided to go as a caravan, but they were afraid to go, and they were afraid to stay. You know, and this is when, you know, you really hope that you've got a life of faith, because you've got to rely on the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit in these matters. Some of it's obvious, but in a situation like that, where you're encircled by flames, you don't know what to do. So, Father, we just ask that you would give these people the, you know, wisdom to know what to do. Father God, I know that you love every human person, each one created in your image and likeness, and you desire only good things for them. And so I ask, Father God, that they would be open to your leading and open to your guiding. Amen. Well, Sue, we're going to talk about some wacky things today. One of them has to do with psychics. And it was so funny because before we went on the air there, we were talking with Rich, who is our producer, Rich Jesse, our producer, and you said, you know, well, we're going to talk about psychics today, and then he said, yeah, and they probably know it because they're psychics, and it was so comical. But the fact of the matter is, we know that the majority of people that think that they've got this gift of clairvoyance, knowing these things, absolutely not true.
So,
but anyway,
true.
It was really comical.
That is so true.
It was such a good funny. So tell us now, what about these, what's going on in the psychic world right now?
Well, you know, they come out of the woodwork at this time of year because they all have their big predictions for 2025. And somebody had written and asked about May the Irish Psychic, who is very popular, very popular. She uses a stack of playing cards that she got on Aer Lingus, which is the Ireland's official airline. And this is what she uses to make her different predictions. She claims that she inherited her powers from her psychic grandmother, whose name was Mame Mulhern. And she was a woman who allegedly booked passage on the Titanic and then decided against that trip. Of course, saving her own life. And from that time on, she used her, you know, psychic abilities to help other people. So this is where she said she got it from. Her name is Marianne Jordan, actually. It's not really May. But anyway, I went through the list of the list of her predictions. And I think, I don't know why people would pay money to hear some of this stuff. For one thing, she says Luigi Mangione, who killed the United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Manhattan last month, she said that his case appears to be a slam dunk, but it's not. The case is going to turn around, and he will go away for as little as 10 years, but a maximum of 27, and he won't be sentenced to death. She goes on to say Donald Trump is going, she says he's going to have a successful presidency, but he will not be attacked. There will be no other attacks on his life. However, there will be an incident in 2025. Now, an incident, if you look up in the dictionary, it means an event or occurrence. He's the president of the United States. He's going to have about four of them every day. You know, press conference, state dinner. So anyway, she's covering her bases there, right?
That's very broad.
And she also, here's another one she said, and he's also, I see him having health issues, especially problems with his weight, and suggests that, he uses Ozempic to get his weight down.
Oh, dear heavens.
I know President Joe Biden, she says, is going to have some very significant health issues. Well, yes, he already has a lot of them. Kamala Harris is not going to run again. And she said that her husband, Doug Emhoff, is behind the scenes pushing her. And that's what drawing a five card from her deck told her. She got that off of a five card. This is the one that really grabbed me. The royal family is going to see a reunion between Prince William and Prince Harry anywhere from 2 to 22 years from now. I thought, hey, you know what, Janet? We could have made that prediction. You know?
It's like, well, gee, the number two is here, so it must be 2 years to 22 years. That is crazy. I mean, come on.
I know it. I know it. She says Princess Kate has beaten the cancer and she's going to do well. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are going to marry in 2025. Well, yeah, they're already kind of talking about it. And although Jordan sees a baby in their future, it's not going to be born this year. Now, anyway, who couldn't predict that? Do you really need psychic abilities for that? This year's a P. Diddy. P. Diddy is done, she says. He's going away. I'll be shocked if he ever gets out. I'll eat my cards. Well, I'm telling you, you're not going to need to eat your little Aer Lingus cards, May, because everybody who hasn't been living under a rock knows that he's in very deep legal problems right now. Very deep legal problems. He's not getting out of jail anytime soon.
Oh, my goodness. It's just, well, you know, once again, that's it. At its best, it's speculation. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can get in touch with us today right here live on Women of Grace Live. Give us a call. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We're delighted to be with you today. We certainly are. Sue Brinkman here, because it's Wednesday. Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday. We talk about the weird and the wacky, the things that we see going on in the world around us that make us want to scratch our head and say, what? You know, that kind of stuff. And we don't ever run out of topic. And that's the unfortunate reality. We were talking about spirits earlier, Sue, and we were talking about beguiling, the word beguiling, you know. And I think beguiling is exactly what the evil one does with regard to all of these kinds of things. And, you know, with regard to the psychics, you know, our topic today and the predictions that they make, there is this, you know, and I want to use this word again, morbid curiosity. It's a word that, you know, it's a phrase that I had never heard before. I read a little book written by Father Benedict Rochelle called A Still Small Voice. And in that book, he talks about morbid curiosity. And he warns us against morbid curiosity, you know, and he said, you know, so, and I look at that and I think it's one of the lower passions that we have, you know, this curiosity to know beyond the knowing, but not in the way in which the Lord wants to lead us through discernment, not the way in which the Lord wants to reveal to us the mysteries of our life in Christ, not that kind of curiosity, but a mere morbid curiosity to know about events, to know about how things are going to work out, to, you know, to try to organize our life according to you know, what predictions might come our way. And so people, you know, they look for them. They go to astrological charts. They go to, you know, horoscopes. They go and they visit psychics. And you were talking with us about this one psychic, May, who uses the cards that she received, the playing cards that she received on an Aer Lingus flight to be her predictor. Now, Aer Lingus is the, you know, the official airline of the country of Ireland. Interestingly enough, though, I don't know if you're aware of this, Sue. This is just a little factoid that Jack and I found out one time when we were, we had a layover in Ireland. And that is that every one of those Aer Lingus planes is dedicated to a different Irish saint. And that saint's name is on the side of the plane. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that lovely?
So neat.
Yeah,
yes, I love that.
Yeah, Jack discovered it. He says, look at that, John. All of these, fly. Every one of them had a saint. It's kind of like underneath the cockpit up towards the front of the front of the plane there. But a very fascinating thing. So especially if you've got a psychic flying on the plane with you, it's nice to know if you're on an Aer Lingus flight that the plane has a patron saint who's praying for that plane and praying for you in that plane. But let's talk about this for a moment. These psychics, I mean, some of the ones that you read are ridiculous. I mean, that's not even attempting to look like you have psychic ability because it's so wide ranging. Like, I predict that Taylor Swift, she's going to get married and they're going to have a baby. Okay, well, gee whiz, isn't that usually the way it goes? That's a pretty good prediction. It's a pretty safe bet. Let me put on that. I would put money on that. That's a safe bet. So, how is it? Are psychic charlators or some of them have strange ability?
Some of them, their strange ability, but you know where it's coming from? It's coming from Satan. They're wide open. They're wide open vessels, and even people like Baba Vanga, she was she's known as the Nostradamus of the Balkans, and she lost her eyesight in a freak accident, a storm that hit her village in the early 1900s, and she claimed that ever since then she was able to see the future. She had this new vision, and she was one of the people who predicted the events of 9/11. So now you look at that and you think, well, how did she know that? How did she know that? Well, first of all, I would like to ask, why didn't you tell anybody that this was going to happen and figure out some way to warn people that they might believe you and put a stop to this? You notice that the psychics never do that. But anyway, it's easy if she's getting information from the devil, okay, he knows that that's being plotted. The demons have been observing us since Adam and Eve. They're very good observers. In fact, Father Mike Driscoll, in his book, Demons, Deliverance, and Discernment, he says one might think of them as extremely accurate weathermen. They don't know the future, but they can make very good predictions. And they do that by observation. They observe people. So they observed all the people who were plotting the 9/11 attack. They knew that that was going to happen. And even earthquakes. Well, how do they know that? Well, the demons know that the conditions in the earth's movement preceding an earthquake, they know what that is. They know when a volcano is ripe for eruption. They see all of that stuff. They are preternatural beings that have preternatural abilities. And I think that's one of the reasons that I think most people fall victim to this stuff is they don't have even the most basic knowledge about demons and preternatural beings. Because if they did have that, they would know instantly that demons, angelic beings, have those kind of powers. They can do things like that. And you have a psychic who believes she's got these certain powers because more than likely the demon's been feeding her with that information all her life. Well, you're special. You have special powers. You don't need God. You can make your own predictions. And she grew up believing this and now thinks she is having special powers. But actually, she's open to suggestion from demonic entities who are feeding her information that is true. The information is true. And why does he do that? Well, he does it so that he can impress people with the efficiency of this psychic so that they'll turn to the psychic and not to God. That's exactly why that happens. And that's exactly why he goes along with divination. And the church, for very good reasons, of course, all of the above, condemns that. All forms of divination are to be rejected. And this is the Catechism, number 2116. It says, because they all conceal a desire for power over time, over history, and in the last analysis, other human beings. And isn't that true? With these psychics really do, I think, like that kind of power that they have over people. Like, oh, tell me, what's going to happen to me? And you have this person hinging on your every word. Yeah, that kind of feeds the ego a little bit, I would think. And all kinds of divination, any involvement in at all, contradicts the honor, the respect, and the loving fear that we owe to God alone. And that's from the Catechism. So you have to be very careful with this stuff. Tarot, Ouija, of course, which is in a league all its own. All of these things, reading tea leaves, using the pendulum, all of these things are not to be done to predict the future. God knows the future. The demons do not know it. He does not allow them to know it. So if he doesn't let them know it, he's not going to let psychics know it either. Now, the prophets, he's had prophets that he's told things to. But that's the person who, number one, never sought it and was given that gift and in most cases didn't want it.
Yeah.
Look at Jeremiah and Isaiah. None of them wanted it. They didn't want to be prophets.
No. Let me just interject here, you know, a couple of things. And I'm glad that you're going down that road because that's my question is going to lead there. But first, I want to mention that, you know, what we oftentimes forget is that these demons were once angels in heaven, right? They chose against God. They rebelled. We read about that in Revelation. And we would do well to take a look at Revelation. Revelation is not, you know, some made up story. It is St. John on the Isle of Patmos where he was exiled, experiencing a revelation of God. That's where Revelation comes from. And God was really showing him, you know, what happened before time began. He was showing him what happened in the heavenlies. And so when we read Revelation right there around, 11 and 12, actually chapter 12 talks about this completely. We see this uprising in the heavenlies between the good angels and the bad angels. Lucifer, God showing Lucifer, God putting the angels to a test, really, and revealing to them, showing them that he would send his son in time. The word would become flesh. And he would send his son by way of a woman into time. And at that point, I don't know that if time existed or not. I'm not really sure. I don't think that we've got a hint of that, or at least if it's there, I'm not aware of it. So all of that being said, but when the angels, you know, and it says a third of the angels, right, were thrown out of heaven. Well, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that there's an infinitude of angels. So a third of an infinitude is a whole lot, right? But when they fell, they didn't lose their angelic powers, nor did they necessarily lose that particular hierarchy and choir of angel that they existed in. So when you were talking about the fact that, you know, the angels know what's going on with you know, the earth, and you know, so the idea that somebody could predict an earthquake, you know, the demonic knows that, yes, because there are certain angels that God had assigned and remain assigned, those in heaven, to have authority over those parts of all of his creation. And there are some that are specific to the elements. I think it's the virtues. I think it's the virtues that are the angels that are responsible for the elements. And so, you know, like right now, we should be asking for their intercession for all of the people that are out there in California. But that being said, these angels have these powers. God does not take the gifts back. You know, he doesn't take his gifts back. It says that in Scripture. So those gifts now are corrupted. They're used for evil and not for good, but they still exist. So I wanted to point that out. So this is why, you know, all of these things, you know, kind of, you know, can come together if somebody is consorting in some way, opening themselves up to demonic suggestion. The second thing I wanted to ask, and you know, Father Benedict Rochelle's book, A Still Small Voice, is great for this. That book is still in print. Yeah. Praise be to God. Yeah, it's great. You know, how do we know? Because you were talking about prophets a minute ago. And I was going to say, well, you know, there are some people that do receive private revelation. We have saints that have received private revelation. St. Faustina comes immediately to mind. You know, I've got Blessed Catherine, Anne Catherine Emmerich. Is it Anne Catherine or Catherine Anne? I'm always confusing her name.
Anne Catherine Emmerich.
Right. We know St. Catherine of Siena. You know, I mean, numbers and numbers and numbers of the saints received visions and revelation. So how do we know what's of the demonic and what isn't? And I think you began to share that with us. And I want you to continue on that path for a moment here. When you said, well, none of these people were seeking it. You know, they weren't out there looking for that kind of a gift or doing anything to acquire that kind of a gift.
They were just chosen by God to do that, and they responded and they did say yes. And as I said, in a lot of cases, they were a little bit stubborn at first. They didn't want to do it. But you look at even in the dreams of Daniel, the dreams of Saint Joseph, God predicted the future in those dreams to those men. They were not seeking it. A right. psychic seeks it, and that's right. what opens them up. Is that seeking, that act of seeking it out. That's that turn away from God toward whatever this other power is. Whereas in a psychic doesn't do that. I mean, a prophet doesn't do that. A prophet is just simply chosen by God and is a recipient of this information, whether they want that information or not. Right. They're simply the recipient of that, which is why we should always be working very hard to remain docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit and try to achieve that docility and try to work on that and develop that within ourselves to become more and more docile, which means, of course, we have to become more and more humble yeah. And more willing to be controlled by the Lord in that way. But anyway, so the prophet doesn't seek it out. The psychic does. And mm-hmm. in fact, the psychic is making his or her living off of seeking out this information. So she's wide open to right. all kinds of demonic suggestion. And as you said, there are certain demons who are assigned to watch over, or not watch over, but to be involved with the earth, different earth elements. They know all these things, and they all communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. They all communicate. They share their notes.
Yes.
So yeah, they know when something like this is going to happen. So they feed it to a certain psychic, and then that go ahead and impresses somebody. So you have to be really, really careful with this. I wouldn't go at all, because a lot of psychics are really just kind of con artists.
Yes.
Many of them, I think, do believe that they have powers. I think a lot of them really are trying to do something special for people. I was mentioning this Baba Vanga. You know, she lived in North Macedonia. She was very poor. She really did believe she had some kind of a special vision. And she made predictions up to the year 5079, I think. She was the one who said that during the year 2025, this is just kind of a little aside here, but in this year coming up, Johnette, we are going to make contact with extraterrestrial life during a major sporting event. So it's going to be probably in the middle of the Super Bowl.
I was going to say, watch out. The Super Bowl's on its way. Glory.
You know, but she made a lot of predictions that didn't happen either. But she's one of the ones who predicted 911. And yeah. as I said, that was easy for a demon to figure that out. And I think yeah. once a person sits down and just reads, okay, what's a preternatural being and what powers does a preternatural being have, they will understand a lot more about this and why the church wisely cautions you to stay away from these types of activities right. because of the risk that you have, that you encounter of getting involved with demonic entities who are going to just want to play you. They'll yeah. play you like cards.
Well, and you
like
know,
a deck
too,
of cards, Aralingus cards.
Exactly. you know, it's interesting too, because someone who is supposedly receiving revelations from God, for example, never really sits on that moment and assumes that it is from God. You know, they will take it for discernment to a spiritual director, right? And the church will be very careful in making judgments with regard to that. But there's no such check and balance system with regard to these psychics. There's a great deal of hubris that exists within that community. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, too, you know, like you say, the saint, generally speaking, these things will happen during their time of prayer. You know, but they're not looking for it to happen. But a psychic will strive to have those moments. They'll purposely go into a trance. We're not to put ourselves into trance-like states, and we can do that by any number of means. We're not to do that. So they are purposely striving to acquire this, you know, this clairvoyant knowledge. So, you know, we have to look at that very, very carefully. And we can't believe everything that we are told, nor can we believe every seer. I know that there's a lot of people out there who will latch on, and nobody in our listening audience, of course, but I know that there are a lot of people who will latch on to anyone who says that they are having visions from our Blessed Lady or from a saint, and they'll begin to invest their faith in that rather than in God himself, you know, in the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. Their life becomes centered around that apparition or around that seer. And they'll base their life's decisions on that. That is foolhardy to do. Usually speaking, the church doesn't pronounce quickly on these matters. It takes time.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because, yeah, that's really big right now. And it has been big since the pandemic when you had all kinds of seers coming out of the woodwork saying that they were hearing, they were having visions of Our Lady or they were receiving messages from St. Michael and that sort of thing about the pandemic. And then they went, of course, okay, they continued on because they had developed a reputation and people were now looking to them and their writings were all over the internet. A lot of them have very beautiful websites. They're very convincing. And the messages that there are actually the messages I think are very dry. If you've read one, you've read them all. They never really tell you anything all that spectacular or anything that hasn't been told before. But people don't understand that private revelation is not something that you have to believe. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. It's not part of the magisterium of the church. The private revelation is not. So you have that option to just ignore it. And that's even Fatima and Lourdes and apparitions that have been approved by the church. You really don't need to do that because you don't need any of those things in order to be saved.
That's right.
What you need is faith in Jesus Christ and is revealed in the scripture. Yeah. This is what we really need is that we don't need these extra things. But if they're going to enhance your faith, there's nothing wrong with that. And you can certainly do that. But like you said, some people get too caught up in it. And I'm speaking of somebody who did at one point get caught up. And this was right after my conversion. I really was getting into all these books about this was the end times. And this the Michael Brown book, I think it was called The Final Hour. I read that book and I bought like 10 copies and gave it to everyone I knew. You better read this. We're all going to die soon. Yeah. I mean, I was too young in the faith. I didn't understand a lot of these things that, you know, one day with our Lord is like 10,000 years for us.
Right.
So we don't know these things. Jesus says it in scripture. No one knows but the Father. Right. And he wouldn't have said that if he didn't mean it. But here's the other thing. God is not going to tell you to do anything life that would save your life, such as you need beeswax candles to get through the 3 days of darkness. He's never going to tell you that through private revelation. Why isn't he going to tell you that? And why wouldn't he give that in revelation, in his revealed truth? He would have done the latter because he would want everybody to be saved if your life hinged on that. He would never just pick the select few people who happen to read this particular revelation that, you know, private revelation that you need beeswax candles to survive the 3 days of darkness. Why would God ever do that? That's so unfair. And this is what I try to tell people who are getting so wrapped up in this. Oh, I've got to have these candles and I've got to do certain things and I've got to buy this and hang this in my window and stuff. You got to be really careful that you're not starting to drift into Gnosticism, where you think you've got some kind of secret knowledge that's going to keep you safe, that other people who don't have that knowledge won't be safe. You know, we can't get into that. We've got to let
the Lord be
in charge of our destiny.
That's right. And that's one of the things that so concerns me about some of these things is that what it does really is it instills fear in people and panic, you know, and,
yes.
You know, the Holy Spirit does not instill fear and panic. He will instill a holy awe of God, right? That we call the fear of the Lord. He will instill, and that holy awe will lead us to live rightly, you know? So, you know, a fear of damnation, a fear of eternal punishment, that kind of a thing. That's all based on on, you know, having, you know, a healthy understanding of who God is and who we are and our need for him and to live accordingly by following his commandments and living the Beatitudes, you know. And so, but when we're getting the kind of fear that the evil one wants us to have, where we're beside ourselves, we can't function, or we're panicking, you know, right away, that's not good fruit. And that tells us that there is something the matter. Well, listen, I don't know. We didn't get any calls today. I guess it's because the topic was so important that we needed to get a lot of information out. But it was wonderful being with you, Sue. And I want to wish everybody, you know, continued blessings today. Let's continue to pray for our brothers and sisters that are there in California, for the misery that's going on in that state. Let's be very mindful of them in our time of prayer and the sacrifices that we make throughout the course of the day. So, Sue, we'll be back again next week. Oh, we just love being with you right here on Women of Grace Live. Until then, may God bless you. Bye-bye.